Warning, the following audio transmission is based on theory and is intended for entertainment purposes only. It's Doomsday and its affiliates will not be held liable for anything your dumbass does. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome, everybody, to It's Doomsday Podcast. Today is July 16th, 2023. Time is 20:04, and joining me, as always, is Big Daddy Prep. What's going on, man?
Oh, just another beautiful day. Just another beautiful day in this world, I guess.
Right? So, I want to go ahead and start off by apologizing to the listeners, because we haven't put out any episodes in a couple weeks here. Guys, my schedule has been extremely screwed up lately, and it's between the schedule and trying to get with everybody, it's just been a little bit difficult these last few weeks. So we're going to, you know, try to hit it hard here, and I'm going to try to get some things knocked out to where we could keep producing the episodes like we were. One of the main reasons is I am, after 2 years of being out of work, I am finally back to work, right? And I am on a rotating schedule, and it's really got me screwed up, but it also kind of segues us into this topic, because I am now working for a state maximum security correctional facility. Someone brought up a couple weeks ago, what would happen if shit would hit the fan at one of these prisons? What would go on? And if you guys don't know, Al has had some experience in the prison system. Have you not?
Yeah. Close to 20 years worth, and I'm going to be honest with you, in a scenario that we're talking about here, the worst place you can be is in prison, so I'm going to advise you don't go, because if all hell breaks loose, you're going to be the last people on the list people are going to worry about, I promise you.
Right, and that's, you know, I didn't know this, Al, but let me just tell you what, if you're in prison and shit hits the fan here, even if it's not a doomsday scenario, our state has like a no hostage policy. So if you're a CO working in there and they get a hold of you, the other COs are not allowed to respond, right?
That's right. That's standard procedure.
Right. They have to wait for special teams to come in to extract you, right?
Right.
And that's a scary thought, even if you're talking about a scenario where things haven't hit, where shit hasn't hit the fan yet. Right.
Right.
So
right. They will not negotiate for your safety. I assure you of that. They will not do that.
Right. And I got to tell you what, there's guys, I mean, I'm not going to go into grave detail with certain things. But the bad people are in prison for a reason, and you would not want them out on the streets running around in a lawless society when shit hits the fan. Right.
Very true.
And there is a couple components of this that I'd like to tackle. The first one being grid failure. Now, I know most of these prison systems have backup generators, right? We do. We have right. Backup generators where we are, but they are on it. There is a time limit for those to where those right. will fail.
Yeah, eventually they won't be able to get fuel. Most of them run off diesel. They're diesel backup power units. But if there's no one to deliver the diesel, eventually the power does quit. It happens.
Right. So I haven't been privy to the information of how long you have with power, but let me explain something to everybody out there. There's not much natural lighting inside of a prison, right?
Right.
So the windows that you do have are very tiny, very small, to where people could not get out of them. Things are barred. The ventilation system runs off the electricity there. Like, there's no movement in and out of light or air, right?
Nope.
Right. You don't go ahead and crack a window open in prison and get a breeze. You don't pull back the shades and get light. So in the event the grid fails, the backup generator would kick over. It would have so much lifespan until it would run out of propane or diesel fuel or whatever they're utilizing for that backup source, right? And at that point, there's no air movement. There's no lights on with inside the prison. So then what happens, Al?
No water also. Remember, most water systems have some kind of an electrical component to them. 72 to 96 hours, most units can go with backup generators.
Are you looking for something kick-ass to add to your closet? Reaper has the hookup for t-shirts, hoodies, button-ups, hats, beanies, and plenty of other badass products. You can check out Reaper Apparel Company at www.reaperapparelco.com and use code DOOM10 for 10% off. Jester only stands behind brands he believes in, and Dan at Reaper Apparel has a mission, and Jester is on board. Go check out www.reaperapparelco.com today and use code DOOM10 for 10% off your entire order. Why be a sheep when you can reap? Use code DOOM10 for 10% off at www.reaperapparelco.com today.
Until they have to be refueled. If they're not refueled in that amount of time, guess what? No power, no security, no lighting, no water, no food cooking, no food preparation, no food long-term storage because your freezers, refrigerators, and all that go out. Yeah, it's a bad scenario.
Right. And I keep, you know, I've been going back and thinking in my head, you know, what would happen for us? I'm not inside, I'm outside, right? And I just think about the amount of people that are in there. So the power fails, there's no food, there's no water, nothing's happening. At what point are the states required to cut these guys loose if they can't take care of them?
They will not cut them loose. They will bring in the National Guard, they'll bring in the military, they'll bring anybody they can to keep them in. But all the so-called creature comforts will end. I mean, if you can consider creature comforts in a prison, I mean, it's a bad situation already, but it's only going to be worse. They have a duty to protect the public from these people. They won't, I mean, they might move them from one unit to another. If it's an aerial situation where, you know, if one area is out, they can move them to another unit, but it's a very dangerous situation for everybody involved.
Right, and that's what my thought process is, too, because you're going to have a lot of inmates that would take advantage of a shit-hits-the-fan scenario, right?
Yes, yes. Tried New Mexico back in the mid-'80s, the New Mexico state prison riot. If you want to see horror, you know, that's horror. There was a riot out there several days long. A lot of inmates lost their lives. A lot of inmates in protective custody lost their lives because they knew what they were. And, a lot of killing.
So I guess what, you know, where my mind's firmly laying now is, all right, so for the most part, we're good. National Guard's going to come in. They're going to bring in the additional resources they need. I guess what's kind of scary about this, though, is do we have enough National Guard resources and do we have the resources to manage every prison in the country if the whole system goes down, if the whole grid goes down?
Absolutely not. There is not enough resources. There is, because the resources are going to go to those folks in the free world first. The free world being regular, everyday citizens. They're going to go there first. They are going to protect security of those that are in at the best they possibly can and provide the minimum amount of, you know, food, lighting, generators. But it's going to take a step down on the rung of what they can do. And eventually, they're going to run out of services. So, yeah, it can be a very bad situation. We actually plan for these things in units that I worked at. There are doomsday scenario plans for every state, every unit across the country, whether they're good ones or bad ones. There are doomsday scenarios, but that doesn't mean they're going to be great situations.
Right. And again, you know, I guess what my thought process is this is a fragile system that could very well break. And
yes,
what would it take for that to happen? So basically, for the listeners out there, what would they need to be looking for? What do they need to be worried about, you know, for these becoming an issue? For example, if the National Guard, if they're depleted and then these prisons get compromised, I guess it's a safe bet at that point to say shit is going to progressively get bad from then on, because I'm also thinking about the idea of a lot of these COs, if shit was breaking bad, they're not going to stay at the prisons and stuff. They're going to go home.
Yeah, and the ones that are at home already are not coming to work. Some will come, but many, many will not.
Do you have enough food in your pantry for when disaster strikes? Go to www.readywise.com and utilize code DOOM10 for 10% off your entire food order. ReadyWise offers long-term food storage items such as chicken and beef that last up to 15 years. But that's not all. Go to www.readywise.com and use our code DOOM10 for 10% off of organic food as well. Offering chili, pasta, and soups, they have you covered. Did we mention they have fruits? Bananas, blueberries, strawberries, and apples, just to name a few. With many more food options for your home, car, or bug out bag, ReadyWise has your six. Go to www.readywise.com now and utilize code DOOM10 for 10% off.
And it really, you know, it really makes you wonder, you know, who we're putting our faith in out there, because, you know, here's the thing that I'm coming to realize too, is there's a lot of dirty COs out there.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I've seen a lot of them over the years. I've even seen COs that helped people try to escape from prison in good times. So imagine what it would be in bad times.
So we had a scenario here in the state. I wish I could remember the name of the prison. I wish I could remember the year this happened. People that are familiar with the state of North Carolina may remember this being a thing. But they had a fire at one of the prisons, and instead of getting the inmates out, I'm assuming they didn't have the resources to do it. Well, they left all these people dying there.
Yep.
And there's been, that prison, I guess, has since been shut down, has never been reopened, and I guess the lawsuits are still getting paid out, right?
Right. Well, these things happen in other units. I mean, Florida has hurricanes. Most all the units in the states that are around the Gulf of Mexico and up the eastern seaboard understand hurricanes. So I've seen massive units have to be evacuated in the eye of hurricanes. That is a big undertaking. That is a huge undertaking. That involves not only the Department of Corrections, state police, you know, county, city, federal units, things like that. So yeah, that's in a good situation. Imagine what it would be in a situation where you have not only your own family, but everybody else that's in the free world trying to maintain their composure, try to maintain what they've got, and now you have thousands of inmates that need to get moved to at the same time. So yeah, a huge problem.
Right. And you know, I've been sitting here thinking of all these different scenarios in my head as I'm outside of this prison, you know, doing the job I'm tasked to do. And there are things that are standing out in my brain. Like, for example, whenever we're doing, whenever they're moving inmates in and out of the prison, right? Yep. I get really worried. I'm like really worried because if anything would happen in that moment, that would be the best time for somebody to do something wrong, right?
Yep.
Anything that's kind of unscheduled, anything that's out of the ordinary, if anybody wanted to come in and get somebody out of there or start a riot or anything, that would be the time. And that led me into like the shit hit the fan scenario. So the grid failure thing is one side, and I think is the most crucial, right?
Yep.
But let's talk about protocols like flooding and natural disasters and things like that. Most of these prisons are set up to where natural disasters should not be a thing. Should not be a problem, I should say. They're built outside of floodplains, most of them, right? They're up high. Yep. They got really good drainage. They have built these things to not have to worry about the flooding aspect, but you still got hurricanes, tornadoes, and things like this. The reality, though, is, again, these are hardened facilities. A hurricane's not going to take down a prison, right?
For the most part, no.
Right. You might lose some fencing, maybe, right? Or you might, you know, you might lose like some signage, but the structure itself should be fine and remain intact. I mean, it's a building that's designed to keep people in that are trying to get out, right?
Right.
So they're not built with plywood and drywall. They're built out of concrete and steel.
Yep. There'll be damage, but it will be minor damage compared to everyday structures, things like that. But understand also, Jester, with this, you know, when you have situations happen like tornadoes and hurricanes, you lose communications, or you have at least less communications. You could lose towers and repeaters and things like that. So it definitely affects things. I've seen a lot of collateral damage at prisons as far as, you know, damage. The building's still intact, but they could lose roofs and fences, like you said, and things like that. But also think about the people that are working there. You know, you may go to work in one of these places and people just simply can't come to work. They just can't get to work. You could be there for a long period of time.
Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing too, you know, to kind of consider or think about if there are disasters and people aren't able to move and they can't do shift changes. I know for me, after I put in about 8 to 10 hours, I'm like shot. I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to get a shower, take a nap, go to sleep, et cetera. Right. So imagine if you've got all these COs in there that can't do their shift change. How long are they going to be able to effectively do their job?
I've seen units that I have been in that I have worked 3 and 4 days straight on. I mean, maybe a few hours sleep here, there, and yonder, but I've slept on a waxed floor several times in my life, just trying to get 2 or 3 hours sleep to try to either catch escaped inmates or riot situations or, like we said, catastrophic situations like weather. So I've done it, but I willingly did it. There are other people that will be told, you're going to do it.
Fire is one of the most basic essentials for survival. Whether you're camping, hiking, or preparing for disaster, Blackbeard has your six. Go to www.blackbeardfire.com and utilize code Doomsday for 10% off your entire purchase. Blackbeard offers stormproof matches, plasma arc lighters, fire starters, and ferro rods, all of which are great for your bug out bag. Once again, go to www.blackbeardfire.com and utilize code Doomsday for 10% off your entire purchase.
So, yeah.
It's in your personal space.
Yeah. I mean, I totally understand that. I mean, that's not a job where you could be like, you know what, I've had enough today, I'm going home.
Right.
You're not going to do that. So the other thing I think to take into consideration with these prison things would be terror attacks, right?
Yep.
There are bomb threats at prisons all of the time. Most of them are bullshit, right? I'd say 95% of them, nothing comes out of it, right? Nothing ever happens.
Right.
But there are a lot of threats, and there are a lot of escape attempts, and there's a lot of horrible things going on inside those walls. And it got me kind of wondering, you know, especially for the prisons that may have, and I'm thinking like federal prisons in general for this, you know, when they pick people up on these terrorist watch lists, or they catch somebody who was planning to do something bad, they go into these federal prisons. And it would not, I guess it wouldn't surprise me if there was attacks on these places specifically, right? And what would those look like? Right. Because, you know, say that you have somebody, you know, I don't know, bomb one of these prisons, crash a plane into one of these prisons, something along these lines. What are these COs going to do? They're going to evacuate. They're going to get the hell out of there. They're not going to want to stick around waiting for the second wave, right?
Very, very true. Very true. You know, it's either fight or flight, and most people's instincts are flight.
Right. And then, you know, it kind of makes me wonder what's going to happen to the people inside the prison. What's going to happen to the inmates? Are they going to leave them in there, or are they going to get them out? I mean, because that when you talk the terror attack side of things, that is happening so fast in the blink of an eye, and you cannot gather resources fast enough. Right.
Right.
So say somebody comes in and they take half the prison out and half the inmates are dead and the other half are alive, but they were out and they weren't on lockdown. Well, how the hell do you secure a big burning hole in the side of a building? You know,
it's very hard, Jester. I mean, people could escape these prisons. There's no question about that. The right situation comes up. Yes. People think it's a far-fetched idea. They see all these movies like Con Air and all these things, but the situations that you know aren't as scary as the situations that you don't know that you can't predict.
Right, exactly. And that's, you know, and kind of to summarize this episode up, because, I mean, this is where my mind was at, like these in particular thoughts. But what, for you doing this for like 20 years, what would be your thought process? Like, what would be the number one catastrophic failure or attack or event? What would be the one big thing you'd be concerned with after being in there for so long?
To be honest with you, EMP attack, because the EMP attack takes out almost everything, communications, electrical systems, locking systems. That's what worries me, something like that, because you can prepare for the things that you can plan for, but you can't plan for things like that. I mean.
Want to be a guest on the show? Email itsdoomsdaypodcast@gmail.com. That's itsdoomsdaypodcast@gmail.com.
When everything goes wrong at the same time, all the greatest planning in the world kind of falls by the wayside. When the power goes out, there's no backup generators, communications go out. I mean, just take, for example, communications right now. When your cell phone goes out and you can't get a hold of somebody and you can't get text, with, how bad do you get and how upset and how does it screw up your world? Imagine that on a huge scale. It's pretty bad. If you can't get a hold of people to assist you, if you can't make communications with other people that can bring you resources, bring you manpower, things like that, you're there. That's what scares me, to be honest with you. All the years that I worked in the systems, I know they have some emergency plans, backup plans, contingency plans, and those are all fine. They break out the little book, they follow the contingency plan, but it's the things that you don't know. Do they plan for an EMT? What if you can't communicate? What if you can't communicate with law enforcement? What if you can't let other people in the community know that you have a breach in your fence and there's a possibility that you could have 300 people that could escape from a prison? I mean, you would like to know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Can't tell you? Absolutely. And, you know, this kind of leads me into something else that I haven't thought about until you brought up the EMP thing. Al, what about a cyber attack?
Right.
Now, I mean, know a lot of these prison systems, like their electronic locking and stuff like that, it's a closed system. They're not
right.
They're not online, right? But other things are online. Delivery schedules, employee schedules, phone systems, there's a lot, right?
Right.
And it really makes me wonder what would happen in the event of a cyber attack on one of these prisons.
I don't worry about necessarily the prison itself, but what if the entire system itself, the entire correction system, was to have a cyber attack and the, you know, mass records were lost and communications were lost and things like that. I mean, we already know that it's easy to breach systems. We have millions of hackers out there across the world right now hacking everything. You know, cyber attacks on everything we have. What if they just breach the entire system and just shut the system down? Yes, these systems have backup paperwork, but do you know how hard it is to go back to paperwork to figure out everything? We rely on computer systems so much today in prison systems to compute people's time, you know, how long do they have, what are the, you know, things like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big thing, too. If you don't got a record anymore of why someone's in prison, how long can you keep them?
Right.
You know, so that's a good point.
It's a scary point in the fact that, yeah, you might violate somebody's rights. That's the least amount of thing I would be worried about. But it's the safety and security of people. There have been situations in the past, Jester, where they got people's sentences wrong and have released people from prison by accident that they shouldn't have released. It happens all over the country. You don't hear about it much, but it does happen. Happens in every state. I don't care who tells you it does it. It does. That's mistakes. What if you had no idea who's supposed to get out? How long have they been there? We all know nobody keeps paper records very well anymore. Everything's online and everything's, you know, through computer systems. So that worries me a lot right there.
Oh, yeah. That would, I mean, to me, that would be one of the biggest, you know, that would be one of the biggest headaches, one of the biggest struggles is overcoming that if it were to happen, you know.
Yep.
So, but I mean, anyway, so I think it's safe to say for the audience out there that's listening, likelihood of these guys getting out is slim to none in many different circumstances, right?
Right.
However,
but I will re.
However, it's not impossible.
Right. I want to reassure everybody that we say this in a doomsday situation. There are plans in place with every prison system around the country. They take the time to sit down emergency plans for every possible situation that they can think of. So there's a lot of thought have gone into these things. Those don't worry me near as much as the unplanned situations, but understand your tax dollars are getting spent wisely. They have people that sit down and figure out these things that make execute plans way ahead of time. So the likelihood that it would happen, slim, but we always say if it can happen, well, then you should plan for it. So.
Is an emergency action message. At approximately 1 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, NORA is tracking 15 ICBM nuclear missiles inbound to the following cities: Orlando, Miami, Pittsburgh, Dover, Newark, Richland, Philadelphia, New York City, Baltimore, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Boston, Seattle, Detroit. This is an extremely deadly situation. Stay tuned, the next emergency message will be a presidential address.